Moses was definitely a giant in the Bible. He was a flawed man, but he was one through whom God did some awesome things. And here is one of the things that God said about Moses that should cause us to sit up and pay attention. He said in Numbers 12, beginning in verse 6, God said, "When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful." He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to God is something that you and I should not only strive for, it's something that we should allow to happen. What do I mean by that? Well, let me answer it by sharing with you a quote from Pastor Bill Hybels. He said this, "One of the most common responses to the question of what trait in other people do you dislike the most is unfaithfulness. When a person is a Christian, they should demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit in all 10 of the areas mentioned in Galatians 5, 22, 23. I'm sure that you know Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In other words, if you are a Christian, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and that means that all the fruits of the Holy Spirit are right there. You just have to allow them to come out and practice them. Now, as I said, I know you know Galatians 5, but it always is a good thing to review it, isn't it? Paul said that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He said, against such things there is no law. And all of us want all of those to be present in all of our lives, all the time. Do I hear an amen? But our focus today is just on one of these fruits, and it's on the fruits of faithfulness. What is faithfulness? I suppose we could define it as being full of faith. Actually, the word faith is used in the Bible in three different ways. Did you know that? First way that it's used is to describe the content of God's message to us, the content of the Christian faith. That's how we use that word when we say that we are to be true to the faith. Do you believe the content of God's message? Are you true to the content of God's message? Moving on. The second way the word is used is to go beyond content, and it moves to a level of confidence. In other words, we place our trust, our faith, in the content of God's word and in the saving grace of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross and in the empty tomb. That's the common way that the word faith is used in the Bible. But there is a third way that it's used. And this is my focus today. Faithfulness means moving from content through confidence to commitment. In other words, it means living the truth of God's message. There's an old hymn, I'll bet you know it, goes, "I would be true, for there are those who trust me. You know that hymn? I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there are those who suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. That describes the practical applications of your commitment to Jesus Christ, that you're true, that you're pure, that you're strong, that you're brave. It means that as a Christian, you are trustworthy. You are reliable. It means, oh, and this is one of my favorite complaints, one of my favorite things to strive for. It means that if you say you will do it, you will do it. Yes, I said it. If you say you will do it, you will do it. You mean it. You're trustworthy. That's one thing my father taught me. Sometimes it also means that you do what you know you should do, even when it ain't easy. One of the wisest men to ever live, King Solomon, said this in Proverbs 20, verse 6. He said, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? Now, he wasn't talking about just males. He was talking about mankind. You could say persons. Let's read it that way. Many a person claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Maybe another way of putting that is to say it's not enough for us to just look good. We have to actually be good. Actually, really, truthfully, be good. So are you a faithful man? Are you a faithful woman? There's a story about a town that used to have an annual marathon. Has anybody here ever run in a marathon? Oh, good, I feel better. This town had an annual marathon, and it was a long and difficult race, and hardly anyone could finish it. But not only did one man finish it, but he broke all the speed records. He was the real champion of the day. And all the people were just thrilled to have been present when he broke these records. And they cheered very, very loudly. And eventually some more runners came behind him and they cheered them too. They were so excited. And it had been a long day and everything was coming to a close and the crowd was just beginning to disperse when one of the referees shouted, wait, the race is not over. Look, and they're coming around a turn was a boy, all by himself, stumbling and still running the race, panting for air, staggering, like some of you do coming from your cars into the... The crowd grew silent as they watched him come up, and then he crossed the finish line and he literally fell on his face on the ground. And one of the judges rushed over to him and he turned him over on his back and he took his handkerchief and he wiped off the blood. And he said, son, why didn't you stop when you saw that you'd lost the race? That boy was still gasping for air, but he managed to answer the question. He said, sir, my high school had a top runner scheduled to run in this race, but he got sick and he couldn't run. And the coach really wanted our school to be represented. And I was the only one around. So the coach asked me to run the race. I wasn't here to win. And I surely wasn't here to quit. I was sent here to run the race and I ran it. Faithfulness. That is what it means to be faithful. You do what you know you're supposed to do even when it's not easy. And that's what Paul meant in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, when he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given to me. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you have enough confidence in the content of the message to be committed enough to run the race, regardless of what God puts in your path? You know, many new Christians start running the race really fast. Oh, they are sprinting. And then a little bit later, they begin to slow down to a trot. And then sometimes it's a walk. And then sometimes they just stop altogether. And you know what? That makes them be just like non-Christians. In fact, there have been some numerous studies on Christian behavior and non-Christian behavior. And alarmingly, the study revealed that there's not a lot of difference sometimes between Christian behavior and non-Christian behavior. It's kind of sad, isn't it? The late Charles Colson said that there was a time when Christians told the world to stop sinning. And he said, now it seems like the world is telling the church to stop sinning. How pitiful is that? One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness, and one of the fruits of the devil is unfaithfulness. I quoted Pastor Bill Hybels earlier. Let me quote him again. He once defined faithfulness in these words. He said, faithfulness means that you stick to a commitment after the shine wears off. I like that. And then he said, faithfulness means you keep saying no 1,000 times, if you must, to the temptation of cutting a corner or taking the easy way out. And then he added, faithfulness means you refuse to jump ship, even when the waves of adversity are splashing over the decks of your marriage, or your relationship with your children, or your relationship with other people. And then he ended by saying, faithfulness means that you stay true to your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs you. God rewards your faithfulness to him. Dale Hansen Bourke is a very accomplished Christian author and speaker. She has a book called Second Calling. And in that book, she shares a story about her friend Bruce. She and Bruce were teaching a conference at a large hotel in a large city. And the conference was over, and they were heading back to the airport. And Bruce offered her a ride. And just as they were about to pull away, a man whom they had never met came up and said, may I ride with you? They said, sure, come on, join us. And on the way, she asked the man, what do you do? Where do you work? And he mentioned a very large, well-known Christian organization. And her friend Bruce, upon hearing the name of that organization, said, oh, I have really fond memories of that group. He said, I attended, it was 1972 in New Hampshire, and I attended a retreat led by that organization. And it was at that retreat that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he said, after that happened, my whole family gave their lives to Jesus Christ too. And my sister even became a missionary. And he said, and then I went on to work for a major Christian publishing company, and I've been instrumental in getting Christian books out all over the globe. And he finished his story by saying, oh, just from that one retreat, the Lord had a global impact for Jesus Christ. Well, the man listened to the story, but he didn't say anything. And they thought maybe he was bored. But then he spoke up rather timidly, and he said, I led that retreat. He said, it was the first time in my life that I had ever been a conference speaker. And I thought I did a terrible job. I thought it was a complete disaster and that I was a failure until this very moment. I had no idea that God had used my failure for his glory. Well, the three of them were astonished. And probably just as astonished that God had brought the three of them together in that one vehicle at that one time. And then Dale Bourke finished the story by saying this. What had seemed like the simple act of offering a ride to a stranger had turned into a powerful reminder that God uses our efforts, whether we realize it or not. I may spend the rest of my life doing things that don't seem all that successful, yet only God knows the purpose. I am called simply to be faithful. Now, let's admit this. Being faithful to God, to one another, to the content of the message is not easy sometimes. It's downright hard. God not only calls you to be faithful, he also demonstrates his own love and his own faithfulness to you, just as he did in that story that she told when they met Bruce. Yes, it's being hard. It is hard to be faithful, partly because we live in a society where faithfulness is not in style. Do I hear an amen on that? As you know, there are countless people surrounding us every day who are not committed to God. They are not committed to a church. They are not committed to their friends. They're not even committed to their family sometimes. And it's too easy to follow their example and to become unfaithful. You are committed to God, but you will fail. You are committed to God, but you will stumble. And then hopefully you will pick yourself up and resume the race. You may be blessed enough in your lifetime for God to reveal to you what he was doing and how he was doing it. See the fruit of your faithfulness to him. What a joy that's going to be if that happens. But God does not always work in the light. Sometimes God works in the shadows. He surprises us. Either way, he is using you for his glory, even when you don't realize it. He may allow you to see what's happening, but more often, he's going to surprise you with what your life meant to somebody else. You're simply called to be faithful. Be faithful. Do you remember that story in Matthew chapter 8 where a very enthusiastic man came up to Jesus? And he said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus could see right through him. And Jesus said, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And the Bible doesn't tell us whether that man continued to follow Jesus or not. It implies that he did not continue to follow him, because following Jesus can be difficult, can be too challenging. It requires faithfulness on our part. And when you do remain faithful, God rewards you. He works wonders when you remain faithful. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, I loved it when Steve Green was singing that song, and I saw lips moving to the words. Some of you know that song. I was really blessed to see you. I'm going to close with yet another story. And this is a story about John Eglin. He was a deacon in a Baptist church in 1850 in England. And one Sunday morning, it snowed. And it was hard to get there, and the pastor was not able to make it to the church. Who was going to preach? John was the only deacon present that day. Are you listening, Ed? Are you listening, Hank? Are you listening, Shirley? Lois, I know you're listening. Who was going to preach that day? I just singled out the board members, by the way. The rest of you are off the hook. He had never preached a sermon in his whole life. In fact, the whole idea of getting up into the pulpit and standing there and talking to people scared the liver out of him. He just didn't want to do it. But the congregation that was able to get there that Sunday morning looked at him, and they just waited. And he knew that he needed to get up into that pulpit. He believed the content of the message, and he was confident that God was in control of everything. And he was committed to being faithful to God. So with his knees shaking and his voice trembling, he got up there in that pulpit and he stumbled through the message. He started and stopped and started and stopped over and over again. It was extremely awkward. It was finally over. But, you know, the next thing, Baptist Church, was to have an altar call. So they had a traditional altar call. And lo and behold, God rewarded John's faithfulness when a 15-year-old boy came down the aisle and gave his life to Jesus Christ there that snowy morning. And the congregation was thrilled. Everyone was excited. John was super surprised. But no one there could envision the significance of that moment, because the boy who accepted Jesus Christ that morning was none other than Charles Spurgeon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers, whose sermons have blessed countless people throughout the world. Thousands and thousands of people blessed, all because of the faithfulness of one timid John, the deacon, who had never preached a sermon in his whole life. Brothers and sisters, regardless of the task that God puts in front of you or me, my hope is that the day will come when Jesus Christ will look us in the face and he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, it is only by your grace. It is only by your grace that we can be faithful servants. And Father, as I look around this room and I realize the stage of life that we're in, I ask you, Lord, to help us all finish well, so that all who come behind us will be able to say that we are faithful to you. In his name I pray, amen.